We have complete breakdown of the basic needs of civilization in Los Angeles right now. We have the three prongs of airborne disease, tuberculosis is exploding, rodent-borne, we are one of the only major cities in the country that does not have a rodent control program, and sanitation has broken down. We had a typhus outbreak last summer. We will have a typhus outbreak this summer. I'm hearing from experts that bubonic plague is likely, it's already here, it will get onto the rat fleas, and then now finally we have this oral fecal route contamination, which is typhoid fever, three cases, one confirmed, probably three. This is unbelievable. I can't believe I live in a city where this is not third world, Laura. This is medieval. Third world countries are insulted if they are accused of being like this. No city on earth tolerates this. The entire population is at risk. And God forbid if measles, this is a population that's suboptimally immunized. If measles gets in, I just have an image of myself on my knees in the gutter attending to people, because this summer is likely to be a very profound problem.
The Safari Park.
You're killing me, Larry.
Hello, Larry.
Hats off to Larry.
Larry. Fucking Larry.
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 Larry. Larry, get into bed now.
Come on, Larry. Larry.
Larry. Well, there you have it. Dr. Drew Pinsky. Love him or hate him, the guy is a medical doctor. Not a bullshit PhD like Dr. Phil and so many other TV clowns who call themselves doctor. And I hate to say I told you so, but I did. In several shows ago, most recently in episode 178, The Killer Plague is Here. You can hear that in the April tab at thatlarryshow.com. Drew Pinsky is probably a very wealthy dude. He's been a media fixture for a few decades, has operated rehab businesses and a thriving medical practice. He doesn't need publicity or money. He's talking this way because he knows what the fuck he's talking about. And he lives in L.A. What's that old quotation? God didn't make men equal, Samuel Colt did. Well, pandemics and plagues are even better equalizers. When pathogens go airborne, they go wherever the hell they want, like up the nose or in the eye of some Hollywood mogul in his Bel Air estate. Same as that meth head lying in a gutter on Skid Row. Germs don't discriminate. They believe in equality. I always wondered about the term Skid Row until a visit to Seattle. Legend has it that the loggers would move timber from the forest to the mills on huge skids. And those guys liked to drink, and often they'd slide down those muddy skid trails themselves and wind up semi-conscious in a pile on the wrong side of town, and ergo, Skid Row. But I digress. Of course, I'm no psychic or prophet. But there was a typhus outbreak in Los Angeles last summer, and probably the reason why Pinsky is really wound up about it now is because, as a resident, he knows we just had the rainiest and coolest winter and spring in many decades. And odd weather always has delayed side effects. Los Angeles is really in the desert. So when a desert gets prolonged soaking, strange things happen by summer. Like we just experienced an eye-pleasing phenomenon. Millions and millions of painted lady butterflies hatched a few weeks ago. They look just like monarchs, but are about half the size. There were airborne rivers of them for several weeks. It's weird to be standing in a completely urban landscape surrounded by glass and concrete while being enveloped in a cloud of butterflies. So there will be an outsized crop of rats. And as you heard Dr. Drew say, Los Angeles, the city with neither a soul nor competent leadership, is looking down the barrel of a genuine plague. Bubonic. Won't that be fun? What's their solution? Well, they're going to throw money at it. There's a big push to build housing for the homeless. And this is more pretzel logic, seasoned with deceptive language. Because while they are homeless, building shelters for them is not going to solve their problem. the vast majority of them are not homeless due to some financial disaster or a shortage of housing. No. They are homeless because they are drug addicted or mentally ill. That doesn't get fixed by putting them in a shelter. How do I know? Because I asked the cops, that's how. Those dudes have to get up close and personal and wade into those encampments. Those guys earn their pay, unlike the creeps in City Hall. And the cops will tell you the problem is drugs and insanity. Do politicians wade into homeless encampments? No, they don't. So I believe the cops. The homeless crisis in California is relatively new and directly attributable to policies enacted by the politician parasites in Sacramento. These policies basically put out the welcome mat to the rest of the nation, and word travels fast, even in those circles. So LA and San Francisco and every other urban area has an army of walking dead, and no matter what you've read or seen about it, it just doesn't match being there in person. Everyone has watched televised events from Staples Center or the Microsoft Theater from downtown LA, and those places look fresh and slick and high-tech and glamorous. Too bad somebody couldn't hack the feed and show a live view right around the corner where blocks and blocks and blocks of tents and cardboard lean-tos contain thousands and thousands of the living dead. In daytime, it's ugly and depressing. They mill around, filthy and high and confused. But at twilight, it gets eerie, and by nightfall, it gets fucking scary. Legions of them come out of that maze, pushing squeaky shopping carts and three-wheeled baby carriages and whatever they can scavenge. The sidewalks are pretty much covered by tents and cardboard, so you have to walk in the roadbed. And you damn well better be wearing heavy boots, because the asphalt glitters and crackles with syringes, or squishes with human shit. And the fragrance, whoa. But back at Staples, stretch limos idle, while inside, Hollywood asses swathed in $5,000 Gucci patchwork jeans sit courtside in seats that cost $7,000 or more. One game. And just a few miles northwest at the Dolby Theater, home of the Oscars, it's a similar situation. Mind-boggling wealth and luxury inside, while outside, the Walk of Fame is polka-dotted with sleeping derelicts and piles of turds. But every tuxedoed and designer-dressed star has a ribbon or a hashtag for the cause du jour. Hashtag me too. Hashtag time's up. Where are the ribbons and hashtags for the street people? Where's the concern? The mayor of LA is an empty suit named Eric Garcetti. If that name is somewhat familiar to you, he is the son of Gil Garcetti, the Los Angeles district attorney who failed to convict OJ. Eric is like most politicians. It's always about the photo ops. Pictures with the Lakers, pictures with the stars, meeting with the Olympic Committee, holding giant scissors for ribbon cutting on malls, or a shiny shovel for groundbreaking for a new municipal building while wearing a hard hat. Doesn't that hard hat trope chap your ass? I can't stand that one. Bunch of elitists who have servants to hold their dicks for them while they take a piss, wearing the outfits of dudes who actually work for a living. Who gives a shit about cultural appropriation? Somebody should sound off about vocational appropriation. Fucking parasite politicians dressing up like soldiers and sailors and airmen and cops and construction workers. That's something to get pissed off about. So just a couple of days ago, Garcetti, who I guess is finally getting heat for the shit show LA has become, he cheerily reported that he was working hard to remedy the homeless crisis and had just earmarked $42 million from the budget to build some shelters, which is not the solution, especially because they couldn't possibly keep up with the demand. Just a few hours ago, the homeless count was published. 16% growth over last year. 16%! Anybody out there get a 16% raise this year? Increase your muscle mass 16%? 16% is a big fucking number in anything. So if you're planning to visit LA this summer, along with the sunscreen and board shorts, you might want to pack a hazmat suit. Things could get ugly. Really ugly. There's a fresh update on another situation this show covered. And that was that hideous massacre at the high school in Parkland, Florida, on Valentine's Day 2018. 17 dead and more injured. Was it preventable? Who knows? But the body count could have been far less had the cop on duty, Scott Peterson, done his fucking job and confronted the shooter instead of hiding. I devoted most of episode 68 to that occurrence. The episode was called Why the Parkland Massacre Was Not a Tragedy. Ooh, some people got bent out of shape over that one, but the fact is, that sad event was not a tragedy, it was an atrocity. Hurricanes and tornadoes and earthquakes and diseases cause tragedies. People cause atrocities. Tragedies make us sad. Atrocity should make us furious. Like the father of one of those kids murdered at Parkman. Here's what he had to say to Scott Peterson today via Twitter. Quote, "Rot in hell. You could have saved some of the 17. You could have saved my daughter. You did not, and then you lied about it, and you deserve the misery coming your way." Unquote. And in that episode, I went hard at both Peterson and his boss, Scott Israel. Peterson for being a coward, and Israel for political grandstanding. Well, since then, Israel was canned, and just today, to my utter astonishment, Peterson was arrested and charged with 11 crimes spanning neglect of a child, perjury, and culpable negligence. Maybe Scott Peterson won't be retiring on his six-figure pension. This case is going to rock the world of law enforcement and the legal system, because it seems to be unprecedented. But it's not the first time cowardice contributed to an elevated body count. Way back at the Columbine atrocity, which just had its 20th anniversary, SWAT cops waited safely outside behind armored vehicles for about an hour until the shooting stopped on the inside and everyone had bled out and died. But none of those cops was charged with negligence or dereliction of duty or child neglect. Maybe this signals a new era of accountability. Not everyone is cut out to be a cop. Those that are and step up to the plate, put their lives on the line, those guys deserve all our gratitude and admiration. They know that in doing the job, they might get dead. But for those in uniform who find that level of risk unacceptable, they should find other work. It's just that simple. I swear to God, sometimes I think I should change the name of this thing from That Larry Show to Larry's Haunted Podcast. More than a dozen times, as I'm in the middle or maybe at the very end of doing a show, I get an email or a text, or a news story breaks and maybe I get a phone call. And one of those communications has great bearing on the content of the episode. Well, moments ago, my newer laptop, according to the sticker on the bottom, it was manufactured in June of 2017, so that's far from old, it just abruptly shit the bed. I don't mean a fritzy screen or a jumpy video or muddy audio. I'm talking dead. Dead like some crumbling mummy in a pyramid. You press the on button, and you'll get the same result pressing a brick. Why is this odd? Because I was going to call this episode, Your Date with fate. And the theme of it is as fate relates to technological fails, which are everywhere. But for some reason, people still put enormous faith in technology. The episode was inspired by the video of that gigantic, uncontrollable cruise ship plowing into a wharf in Venice, Italy, as a crowd of panicked tourists fled for their lives. The ship was named the MSC Opera. Over 900 feet long, 100 feet wide, 65,000 tons, 1,000 cabins, 3,500 passengers and crew, and 13, count them, 13 majestic decks of floating technology. A massive seaborne resort hotel with multiple restaurants, bars, casinos, swimming pools, theaters. The culmination of thousands of years of nautical know-how. Equipped with fail-safe and redundant safety systems and navigation and engines and thrusters and gyroscopes to smooth out rough seas so nobody hurls after the baked Alaska. Every conceivable piece of 21st century techno brilliance stuffed into one big gizmo, and still it went haywire. Reports say the ship would not respond to the controls and just decided to go where the hell it wanted to go, which was straight into a concrete dock and the stern of a smaller cruise ship. There's some great video shot from that dock, reminiscent of monster movie footage where Godzilla or the tripods from War of the Worlds tower over the crowd as they scatter in terror. Except this monster was 130 million pounds of technology. What could have stopped it? The tugboats couldn't. A cannon couldn't. Maybe some kind of bunker buster bomb, but that would have killed everyone and destroyed everything. That looming ship looked as big as a tidal wave, made of steel. And as it hit that dock, it was just as mindless and unstoppable. No one was killed or seriously injured. Unlike another behemoth shipwreck in Italian waters, the Costa Concordia, back in 2012. That thing flipped over like a beached whale. All lucky 13 decks of her as well. Oh, and by the way, there was a very unlucky incident when they tried to crack the bottle of champagne on the bow of the Costa Concordia. The bottle bounced and would not shatter. Not a good omen. The skipper's name was Francesco Schettino, and he was a little like Scott Peterson. He got the fuck off that ship pronto, while hundreds of passengers were in jeopardy. And he actually called his mommy from the dock. Here is a recording of that phone call.
Allo? Allo, mamma?
Allo? Francesco? Allo?
It's me, mamma. Listen, mamma. I had a little accident.
Oh, baby. Are you okay? What happened?
Well, I crashed the ship.
What ship? The big boat you drive? You crashed it? Are you okay?
I'm okay, mamma. But there's a lot of dead people.
Everybody gonna die someday, Francesco. Where you are, baby boy?
I'm on the beach.
Is your jacket zipped up? It's cold tonight.
Mama, what am I gonna do?
You're gonna come home right now, and I'll fix you some linguine and clam sauce just the way you like it.
Mama, I think I'm in big trouble. That Coast Guard man, he was very mean to me. He called me a caso.
He called you what? I have your Uncle Luca pay him a visit. He no call nobody no caso again.
Oh, Mama. Can I have some gelato after the linguine?
Of course, Francesco. You come home right now.
Okay, Mama. I love you.
Now, Skipper Schettino was doing a 16-year pull in some Italian jail, and his big-ass ship was built right around the same time as the Opera, so it's logical that it, too, had all the same technology. AI is all the rage these days, right? Everybody references the original Terminator, that quote, when Skynet became self-aware. And it's a sci-fi trope. The rise of the machines enslaving humans. But I'm not so sure. AI is designed by flawed and fallible people. Is there a car that can't be stolen? A ship that can't be sunk? A website that can't be hacked? How about a safe that can't be cracked? How about a laptop that won't shit the bed in the middle of producing a podcast? Fuck no. I'm not the least bit worried about AI. Some guys, somewhere, right now, are figuring a way to shove a splintery broom handle up AI's ass. Count on it. Hey, thanks for hanging with me once again. It's always great to be with you. Stop by the show page at thatlarryshow.com for some pictures of the destruction of Los Angeles, the video of the MSC Opera plowing into that wharf, and lots more. While you're there, click the Patreon button and support the show. You know, I do need a new laptop. This 10-year-old backup from Fisher-Price will blow up at any minute. It runs hot enough to fry an egg. Come back and see us this weekend for Sinner Sunday. It will do you good, I promise. And until that time, take no shit.